graphics. And there's some interesting things you find. Here's a peculiar fact about the people of Allen County, where we live. Across Allen County, 64% of Allen County residents say that they are Christians. Also, across Allen County, 41% of Allen County residents say that they are active in a religious congregation or community. Kind of interesting. How about some national statistics? From the 2014 Pew Forum, American Religious Landscape Survey, nationwide, 70% of Americans say that they are Christians. Also nationwide, only 63% of Americans say that they are sure God exists. Only 53% of Americans say that religion is a very important thing in their lives. Only 33% of Americans say that they look to religion most for guidance on questions of what's right and wrong, how they should live their lives. So what's the common connection between all of those statistics? Can you think? There seems to be a gap between the number of people who believe that they are Christians and the number of people who at least say they live and act and believe like they are Christians. And that fact is at the center of today's question. We're doing You Asked For It right now. I'm answering your questions about faith and life and Scripture. And today's question is, how can I talk to my family members? How can I talk to my family members who say that they believe in Jesus, but they don't live out their faith? Well, I want to point out right away that this is a really good question for us to ask. This is a good thing to ask. Because I know that in America today, I know that we often have this idea that religion is a very personal, private thing. Like it's something between a person and God alone. But I have to say, that idea is totally foreign to Scripture. That is not the way that God talks. That is not the way that God speaks. When God speaks in Scripture, he makes it clear that our faith is actually, it's a team effort. We're in this together, he says. We're supposed to watch out for one another. We're supposed to help one another live God-fearing lives. And so, for example, from our Scripture reading today, we read that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie, and we don't live out the truth. We need to help one another walk in light instead of darkness, is what he's saying. Or we can look at Matthew chapter 18, for example, where Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you. If they listen to you, then you've won them over. He says, here's what you do when you see a fellow Christian, a fellow believer who is sinning, and they may not realize it, but you do. Here's what you do. And he goes on to say, then what happens if they don't believe you, if they don't listen to you in that situation? The book of Proverbs is helpful here too. From the book of Proverbs, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And so we would be unloving, we'd be uncaring, we'd be acting like an enemy if we let our brothers and sisters in Christ, if we saw a friend or a family member walking in the darkness or walking in darkness, and then we did nothing. That would be unloving. And again from our reading, John says, if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So it's good and right and faithful even for us to help one another walk in the light. And now I recognize who we're thinking about here, who we're talking about when we ask this question today. When we talk about family members who say that they are Christian, but they show little evidence of that in their lives, we're thinking about children maybe who we raised in faith, and now that they're adults, they choose not to participate in the life of God's people, at least not very much. And we're thinking maybe about grandchildren who have precious little opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus, even as mom and dad insist that they go to church enough. We're thinking about friends, maybe even friends who we grew up with in church, who over the years, one by one, they turned away from living lives of faith. We're thinking about brothers and sisters and cousins or even spouses or parents who say that they know Jesus, but when we look at their lives, we can't really see any evidence of that. We see that there's something wrong. They just seem not to get it. They don't live it. And our reading today makes it clear that our words and actions have to say the same thing, have to say the same things. If we claim to have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, we're liars, and we don't want that for the people we love. Our desires that those in darkness would turn to the light. Our desires that those who are far from the Lord would come near to him. That's what we're talking about today. Let me say a couple words of caution or maybe a couple words of qualification for everything else that's coming today. The first thing I have to say is we have to realize we can never really know the state of someone's soul. Only God knows my soul. Only God knows your soul, what's in your heart. People can be Christians. People can be saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross and his resurrection, and they can still be really bad at acting like Christians are supposed to act. And so we can't look at someone's life and know what's in their heart. Only God knows that. So that's not what we're talking today. Today, we're only talking about the things we can see. We're only talking about actions. We're talking about attitudes. We're talking about how people live their lives and how we can encourage our loved ones to live lives that are worthy of the calling that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. The second thing I have to say is this. We also need to realize that Christians often disagree about how best to live out, how to act out our lives of faith. And so, for example, you know, some Christians might believe that we should only read our Bibles at home and we shouldn't go to church together and gather for corporate worship. I would say they're wrong, but they're still trying to live out their faith. Another example, some Christians might believe that Jesus' commands in Scripture were given to a different people at a different time, and we need to somehow update Jesus' commands to make them more relevant or more appropriate for us today. Again, I would say they're wrong. But they're still Christian, and what's important for us today is those people are still trying to live out their faith. And so we're going to talk to them differently than we would talk to someone who just believes that their faith has no bearing on how they live their lives. We're going to talk to someone who is trying to live out their faith, but we believe differently than we're going to talk to someone who just simply seems to think that their faith doesn't mean anything for their life at all. So what we're talking about today is how do we talk to people who just don't think their faith requires any action at all. Today, we're speaking to those people whose words proclaim that they know and follow Jesus, but their lives claim that they don't know the Lord or need to follow the Lord. And the heart of our reading today contains a simple challenge and a simple promise for us that's going to guide everything we say, everything we do. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if our words or our lives claim that we are without sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and he will forgive. He will make us right through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. This is the good news for you and for me and for everyone. And God's word always contains a challenge and a promise like this. That's important for us to realize. And this is actually, it's classic, it's basic Lutheran theology too. We call this law and gospel. Whenever we read God's word, whenever we hear God's word, it does two things in us. It challenges us with God's law. It tells us the way we're supposed to live and shows us that we don't live that way. And it also gives us a promise too. That's the gospel. Law and gospel, challenge and promise. That's going to be how we speak to our friends who say they believe but don't act like it. God's word always challenges us to show us how much we need Jesus, and it always gives us a promise to remind us of the benefits and blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And both these things are important. And it's kind of like this. Have you ever tried to lose some weight before? Tried to get fit? I think many of us have tried it at some point. We're even raising hands. Way to be honest. Way to go. Maybe you've just tried to be a little more fit, a little more active. Maybe you've gone into training for an event or a sport. Maybe you've had a surgery and you need to lose some weight for a surgery, preparing yourself. When you first start trying to get physically fit, you don't want to get physically fit. It's hard. You don't want it. It takes a lot of discipline. You go and you work out and you feel terrible. And then afterwards you feel terrible. And the next morning you feel terrible. And you ask yourself, why would I do this again? And this is where a little law, a little challenge can really help you. Because you don't want to work out. You don't want to exercise. It feels terrible. But then you think about the fact that you have that surgery coming up and that day is set and you got to lose 5 pounds. And it moves you to action. Or you think about your team. You lost a dozen games last year and won 2. And that moves you to action. Or you think about the fact that you look at the mirror every day and you're not totally happy with what you see. And suddenly you have the motivation to pull on those stinky exercise clothes and get out there. And so you do this. And for a while, you just need that challenge. You need that fact that I kind of feel bad about myself, and that moves me to act. But then this funny thing happens. If you keep at it, you keep going, that exercise you just hate to do, if you keep at it, eventually you don't hate it so much. You get to the point where you kind of like it. You start to experience the benefits. You feel better. You have more energy. You perform better in that game. And on top of that, your body is doing its thing with endorphins. And so you get to this point where you even start to enjoy that exercise. And what a change that is from being that person who I just hated to get up and go work out to being that person where you start to feel wrong. You start to feel funny if you don't get in exercise every day or every couple days. Some of you have been there. Some of you have been there. What a change that is. And what's happened is that you have started to experience some good news. You've started to experience some good news. You've started to experience the blessing and the benefit that comes with physical fitness. And once you've seen that benefit and blessing, you want to exercise. You want to be fit. At first, you need a lot of challenge because you don't want to do this. But eventually, you experience the blessing and you learn to love what's truly good for you. Well, it works the same way with our lives of faith. It works the same way. One of the neat things about God's word is that he knows how we work. He knows what we need to hear. He knows how to move us. He knows, well, how to save us. God's law always works in us. God's gospel works in us too. And God knows that we need to hear both. And so God's law tells us that there's something wrong with us that needs to be fixed, and that drives us to action even when we may not want to live out our lives of faith. And the gospel, which is God's promise, which is the blessing and benefit that Jesus has won on our behalf, the gospel is what creates faith in us and saves us, and it also shapes our hearts and minds so that we begin to love the Lord. We begin to love his commands. We love the law of the Lord. We want to live out our faith after a while. And so if you're a person who grew up in church, here's an example. Let's say you haven't been there for 2 years. Let's say also that in the meantime, you've been living your life in a way that you just, no one can really tell the difference between you and someone else, anyone else on the street, someone who doesn't know Jesus. And if you are this person and your mom or dad or your sister or brother or cousin or someone comes along and says, hey, I really think you need to be in church more, what's your reaction going to be? It'll be kind of like that person just said, hey, come train with me for a marathon. Come exercise with me every morning at 5:30 a.m. or 5 a.m. Let's make it even harder. You're going to think, I don't want to do that. You're going to think, I'd rather have my whole Sunday off work. I'd rather not get up really early for a Sunday at like 9 o'clock. Come on. You're going to think, I don't want to be there. I don't want to change how I live. I like my life right now. If you don't want to already live like Christians are supposed to live, and you don't in this example because you haven't been, right? If you don't want to live like Christians are supposed to live, then you'll have lots of reasons not to start, even if you still believe you're a Christian. And this is where that law and that gospel is needed, because God's law shows us our need. It drives us to action. And the gospel promises us all the blessings and benefits that Jesus has won for us. It shapes our hearts and minds according to God's will. And so if you are speaking to that child or that family member or that friend, that person who says they know Jesus but they don't need to live like it, you won't get anywhere just by telling them what to do. You won't get anywhere just by telling them what they ought to do. Instead, let me recommend this. Start with a question and listen to their answer. It's an easy question. We ask this all the time. I think probably the challenge is more that we don't do the listening part. Start with a question. And what you ask is you say, how's it going? How's life? What's going on? How's life treating you? What's good? What's bad? And you ask these questions because nothing shows us our need better. Nothing shows us our problems better than a little bit of self-reflection. And if this person you're talking to knows you, they trust you, that person is going to talk to you about the problems in their life. They're going to share their needs because they know they've got problems in their life. They might share some good things because we all like to talk about the good things in our lives, the high scores on tests, the games we win, the successes at work, the good things happening at home. But if they trust you, they'll also share some hurts. They'll say some things aren't so great. Some things aren't going so well. Work is really hard. I've got lots of stress. I'm fighting with my wife. I'm too stressed out from all that schoolwork, from the pressure of competition. They'll share the good and the bad. They'll share some pains and heartaches. And if this person is willing to talk to you about their need, then what's good is that you have the opportunity to share some good news. You can talk about how Jesus saves us, how Jesus rescues us, how Jesus heals us. You can talk about how Jesus gives us community and family. You can talk about how Jesus takes all of our sin and problems and pain and he forgives us and he makes us new. If someone already recognizes that they need help, then your job's pretty easy. It's pretty easy indeed. Then you're just reminding this person who is the true answer to their problems. You're just reminding this person where help and hope is really found. If someone already knows that they need help and they're willing to admit that, all you have to do is share a little gospel with them. Here's what Jesus does for you. But if they don't know their need, if they're not willing to say it, if they don't know their sin, if they refuse to admit that there's something wrong with them, that's where John's words today are really needed. Like from verse 9 where he says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Or from chapter 2, verse 4, whoever says, I know Jesus but does not do what he commands is a liar and the truth is not in that person. Or whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. This is the hard truth for us, is that we do sin. We do sin. We're messed up. And those people who claim to know Jesus but don't act like it, those people who claim to know Jesus but don't admit that they have problems they need Jesus to rescue them from, they won't admit it. They're lying through their words and through their actions. And it's unpleasant to recognize. We gotta admit that. But it's true, and it's necessary to say. We have to say this. We have to share these things with the people around us, because if we don't recognize our need, if we don't admit there's anything wrong with us, then there will be nothing to drive us to change. There'll be nothing to help us, to motivate us, to turn to the one person who has the power to heal us, the power to restore us, to forgive us and make us new. We will never recognize the gospel for what it is unless we're first convinced of our failures. And now, you don't have to beat people over the head with this truth. You can be a little more gentle than that. There are better ways to help people see their own need. And I think that more questions are really a great way to do this. If someone tells you that life is totally fine and they have no problems and everything is just swell, you don't have to call them a liar to make your point. You can ask another question. Is everything really fine? Everything totally really fine? Nothing at all is wrong in your life, huh? Wow, I wish I was you. You can ask them, are you really sure that God is happy with your life? Because remember, these people say they're Christians. That's who we're talking to today. Are you sure that God is happy with your life? And you ask these questions because what happens in my experience is that many people think about their lives of faith in a good enough kind of way. What's good enough? How much is enough? I go to church enough. We think I pray enough. We think I make the right choices enough. And what we're trying to help people realize is that how much is enough is totally the wrong way to approach our lives of faith, because what we can do can never be enough. And when we realize that, then we're ready to hear the good news that Jesus has done it for us, that Jesus is there to rescue, to save, to heal. And so this is how we speak to people who confess Jesus with their mouths but not with their lives. This is how we speak to people who fail to live out the faith they say they have. We don't just tell them to start living this way or that, because that's not really helpful. We help them to see their own need, and then we remind them of Jesus' promises for them. And when God's word, that law and gospel, when God's word moves people to want to change their lives, they see something bad in them or they see something better that Jesus gives, when God's word moves people to want to change their lives, that's when an invitation can make the difference. An invitation to church, an invitation to Bible study, an invitation to new lives of accountability and action. That's when people will hear an invitation and respond. John, in our reading today, he reminds us over and over and over that our lives and actions need to reflect the faith that we claim. We must walk in light, not in darkness. We must confess our own sins and failures, not say we've got it all together. We must obey Jesus' commands and live as he lived. At the end of our reading, John says this. He says, the darkness is passing and the light is already shining. And that true light is Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, who forgives us, who saves us, who makes us new. And his light shines. shines through us as we live as Jesus lived, as we share the good news with everyone who needs to hear it. Amen.